PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehong.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. It's very nice to have you with us for this, the 17th of June, 2018. Yes, the 17th of June, 2018. And, you know, I'd like to know what people are planning to do for their summer holidays. Sadly, of course, I'm not really going to be able to take much of one because I do have to work this year. So I decided what I will do is just kind of take a few days off here and there, which I think was probably the easiest way to do things. So actually, that's what I'm doing. The date that this program is recorded is a Thursday, but I decided to also take Friday off, so I can have a four-day weekend. That's because Monday is also a holiday. It's the Dragon Boat Festival. And of course, well, I think the name is, well, pretty self-explanatory. It's obviously, well, about dragon boats. If you want to find out what it's all about, if you just go online and just go to something like YouTube or Google and type in Taiwan Dragon Boat Festival, there's a lot of pictures and videos, so you can actually see what it's like. And some of the boats that they use for the Dragon Boat Festivals are really extraordinary. They're like floating artworks. They really, really are extraordinary. Anyway, very nice to have you with us. For this, like I said, the 17th of June. Next week on the program, the 24th, is another one of our programs, the sixth one, for the 90th anniversary of Happy Station, which will be next week. And this week, however, there's going to be part one of something that's become a bit of a tradition here on Happy Station. But first, let's begin with the Dutch Swing College Band and Rita Ray with Goody Goody.
Broke it in little pieces. Now
the Dutch Swing College Band with Rita Ray and Goody Goody, beginning today's edition of Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. As I mentioned, this weekend is the Dragon Boat Festival, so Monday is a national holiday. But very often in Taiwan and many other places, when you have a Monday off, which is a holiday, people will organize to take sometimes a Friday off or even a Thursday so they can actually have a longer holiday. And I know a group of people that are doing that. Actually, they left Thursday morning and headed to, and I can't remember, the name of the place has just left me. It's in Malaysia. It's a very popular place in Malaysia, and it begins with the letter B, and it just left me right now. But anyway, they actually decided to go off to Malaysia, so I want to dedicate a song to the following people who are heading off there. So that's Rachel Yunhong Kelly, George, Abel, Christina, Clement, and I think there's two others as well. So, for you, another song by a Dutch singer, two Dutch singers and Dutch musicians in a row. There must be a reason for that, and I will tell you about that when we have this song by Annika Grenlo that she originally called Brandon Zont in Dutch, and she recorded a version of it called O Malaysia, which is very, well, the song actually is very well known in Malaysia. Everybody knows the song O Malaysia. Here she is, Annika Grenlo. Malaysia, Annika Grenlo here on Happy Station. Now, we play two Dutch singers and a group of two Dutch musicians on today's program at the beginning. Why are we doing that? Well, we are now in our summer. which of course is our summer series period. And something that has become a little bit of a tradition here on Happy Station, going back 5 years ago, was the broadcast of a series called Tales of Dutch Formosa, a Dutch docudrama that we'd produced a number of years ago, looking at the Dutch history of Taiwan. So for today, the June of 17th of 2018, we now present Part 1.
Tales of Dutch Formosa.
The glory of the 17th century United Provinces of the Netherlands was made possible by grand ships, fitted out by merchants and missionaries, the former in search of profit, the latter souls. Men, women, and children spurred on by faith and dreams, risked the long, dangerous voyage to the Orient. For the Dutch East Indies Company, or VOC, the ports of Java, China, Japan, and Formosa held tempting treasures worth dying for. Exotic spices, teas, silks, porcelains, Japanese silver, and Formosan sugar. Trade routes brought the Hollanders wealth unequaled in the world. For Dutch Reformed missionaries, they brought them nearer to the Great Commission to preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. On January 20th, 1625, a very important transaction took place on the southwestern coast of Formosa. The Dutch representative of the VOC bought a strip of land from the Western Plains Aborigines for 15 pieces of cloth. The story of colonial trade and tragedy on Formosa during the next 38 years of Dutch rule holds secrets about this island, which exchanged everything. Names, languages, people, cultures, religion, and trade. Everything that is, except its heart.
In 1627, the VOC sends in fresh recruits to resolve growing conflicts with Japan, resulting from the VOC's 10% export tax. Governor Peter Nutz, a 27-year-old law school graduate, and George Candidius, a 29-year-old minister of the Dutch Reformed Church, arrive in Taiyuan Bay, determined to accomplish their appointed missions. Governor Nutz is accompanied by his young son, Lawrence. Mrs. Nutz will join her husband in a few months. Reverend Candidius brings with him a young serving boy named Francisco. Since the new governor must depart immediately for an audience with the Japanese emperor at Edo, he admonishes Reverend Candidius to reside in the castle and preach the Sunday sermons to the soldiers while he is absent. But Reverend Candidius feels called to a different mission.
We've waited long enough for the ex-governor to meet us. Obviously, he's too much of a weakling to face his successor.
There's something I want to settle before we set foot in Formosa, Peter. The company promised me a house in the village nearest Castle Seelandia. I believe it's called Sinkan and has a population of 400 able-bodied men. It's just the right size for a beginning. But two company officers told me you assigned them the house in Sinkan. Is that true?
I'm afraid so. Do you remember what you pledged while we were students in Leiden? Once we are in Formosa, I will follow the advice of the Honorable Governor on matters of company policy.
How could I forget? My every thought was about coming to Formosa. Those university days gave me a zeal for God's work.
I couldn't tell you before, George. The Governor-General in Batavia confided in me that the Japanese silver trade has nearly stopped because of some troublemakers in that particular village. It seems this former governor, Gerard de With, neglected his duties, and his absence today confirms his guilt in the matter.
He was governor for less than a year.
That's why the Governor-General appointed me not only governor of Formosa, but also ambassador to Japan. I intend to restore respect for the company in Formosa in Japan. Those company employees are obeying my orders. You ought to do the same and accept your lodgings provided at the castle.
The church society in Amsterdam will be very disappointed, Peter. They hoped that I would preach the gospel in Formosa as I did amongst the Maori in Coromandel. For a year there I baptized the poor heathens, and my reports encouraged more mission offerings among our Dutch Reformed congregations.
I don't doubt your qualifications, George. Be reasonable. You need company protection now that the villagers have been provoked against us. Your presence in the village could inflame them, and I can't count on the rabble in the castle to carry out their duties properly. I've heard reports many sailors disgrace the company and church by drinking and whoring in the villages. Most likely this kind of misconduct contributed to the problem in Sincan. I admonish you to save our Dutch heathen at Castle Zeelandia first, then I will decide more favorably about a house in Sincan.
How can I convince you that I need time more than protection? I must learn the native language to gain their trust. I can't do that assigned to the castle.
We can't waste any more time aboard this vessel. You have my last word on the matter.
When are you leaving for Japan?
I will see that Lawrence is settled and then embark for Nagasaki, Japan immediately. A storm is brewing between the VOC and the Emperor of Japan, and I must divert it. When I return in 2 months, at least I hope to find everything in order at Zeelandia.
Before the governor's departure, one of the Sinkins named Dika and a Japanese ship captain, Hamada, disguise a group of young boys as Formosan ambassadors in Japan. If they meet the Emperor of Japan first and convince him to accept their tribute, then Governor Nutt's mission will be in vain. After waiting to see the Emperor for several days, the governor discovers the Sinkin plot. He returns home determined to make an example of how he will deal with traitors. Disregarding Governor Nutt's advice, Reverend Candidius and his boy Francisco assemble a bamboo hut in the Sinkin village. In the evenings, Reverend Candidius teaches Francisco how to read.
Repeat after me, Francisco. The island of Formosa is full of deer.
The island of Formosa is full of deer.
Wild swine. Read it for yourself a while.
Wild swine. Tigers. The Sinkans call them tinny.
Very good. Have you ever seen the animal called the Devil of Taoyuan?
Meanwhile, at Taoyuan Bay, Hamada's ship with the imposters has returned. The Sinkans are arrested at once. Their weapons and gifts from the Emperor are confiscated by the VOC counselors. Dika escapes and stirs up the Sinkins against the Dutch, even Reverend Candidius. Late that night, the angry villagers set fire to Reverend Candidius' house while he and Francisco are sleeping.
Reverend, I smell smoke.
Someone set fire to the house. Hurry, kneel with me, Francisco. We must pray aloud.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Amen. Follow me.
Reverend Candidius and Francisco escape to the castle, where Candidius plans to ask the governor for a stone house to replace his ruined hut. Immediately upon his arrival, however, he receives an urgent message to report to Governor Nutt's.
Peter, I came as soon as I could.
George, you nearly escaped with your life. Do you realize the calamity that is facing us as a consequence of your rash behavior? The reputation of the company and the honor of Prince William of Orange are at stake. If one of us fails in his duty or dies needlessly, the Japanese will waste no time in trying to oust the company again.
It was a minor incident. A simple hut burned, that's all. I don't believe the whole village is to blame.
Don't be so sure about that. While I was in Japan, I found out 50 Christians were crucified, and for no reason other than that they represented a foreign god, just like you do in Formosa.
Couldn't you make some allowances for Dika's ignorance, Peter?
Dika is guilty of high treason. When I arrived in Harado, everyone was gossiping about those savage ambassadors, Dika and Sinkin boys masquerading as princes. No one believed them, especially not the Emperor of Japan.
Did you have an audience with the Emperor?
Regretfully, no. His petty officials intercepted our letters. 2 months wasted.
More than wasted. The trust the Sinkins had in me has vanished. Now no one comes to the school, not even the children, all because of rumors that you kept the returning Sinkins on board the Japanese ship without food or water.
I ordered them detained until Captain Hamana surrendered his weapons.
The VOC counselors said you smashed their gifts.
That's untrue. I confiscated their illegal goods along with some silver trifles, a necklace and crown.
The Sinkans just want the gifts. You know how much they love these presents.
As their Dutch father, I will give gifts to the Sinkans and they will bring profits to me. No foreign sovereign may bestow gifts upon the subjects of the governor who rules in the name of the Netherlands.
It's not like you to talk about profit, Peter. A man can't serve God and money.
Then why are we both here?
Several days later, standing in front of the huge VOC warehouse at Castle Zealandia, three young boys peer into its cavernous hull. The governor's son, Lorenz, and his two friends, Daniel, a cabin boy, and Francisco, are about to explore the riches of the Orient for themselves.
My father told me booty from Chinese pirate ships is stored in here.
Can we go inside? Would you like to, Francisco? We could get in trouble.
Be careful, boys. It's all right to look around, but come back when you hear the musket shot. That's the signal to lock up.
It looks like the same cargo I saw on the Dutch ship.
Not these. Deerskins.
Yeah, sika deer.
I saw thousands in one herd. The Japanese used the leather to make armor for the samurai.
The who? Hey, look at these wooden bins of seeds.
They smell good.
All kinds of spices. Cloves, cinnamon, nutmeg, pepper. Here, smell this.
Not me.
Can you read this?
Yeah. China root. Oh, now I remember. The Chinese workers call it ginseng.
How did you know that?
From Reverend Candidius. He's training me to teach in the missionary school. And then, I'm gonna marry a girl from Sinkan. If she's baptized, that is. What kind of school is that?
At the governor's house, just outside the walls of Castle Zealandia, Governor Nuts and Chief Interpreter Francois Caron discuss how to stall Captain Hamada.
If we keep his ship from leaving a few more days, my letter reporting the Sinkan Rebellion will arrive at the VOC factory at Nagasaki first.
Let's see what will happen. He's coming.
Hamada and a Japanese soldier rush into the governor's room and draw their swords.
Taira the governor! Spani akero! Yes, sir!
Caron! Sound the alarm!
Caron jumps through the open window so swiftly, Hamada and the soldier do not notice his escape.
Help! Murder!
At the warehouse, Lawrence and the boys hear musket fire and prepare to go back to the entrance.
The signal!
No, that's the soldiers at the fort. Let's go see what's happening.
But we could get in trouble.
Inside the governor's room, Hamada and the soldier tie the governor with a long rope, binding his arms tightly to his sides. VOC soldiers have been called to arms outside the castle, but they delay attack for fear of risking the governor's life.
Here's a taste of your own medicine. Toze no mukuita.
There's no need for violence, Hamada. We're friends.
Release my ship now. Sukuni.
Patience. I give you my word, your ship, even all your weapons, will be returned.
You lie, uso da.
Running ahead of Daniel and Francisco, Lawrence meets Caron and a corporal in front of the governor's house. Caron stops him from entering.
Lorenz, you can't go in there.
Let me go.
Lawrence breaks away and runs to the front door.
Father, let me in.
Seizing the opportunity to take another hostage, Hamada opens the door and pulls Lawrence into the room. The soldier pushes him to the floor.
Little that dog. Oi, omae.
Hey, you can't call me that.
Lawrence, stay quiet.
During the attack in the governor's chambers, Dika and several Sinkans break into the kitchen and brutally murder the servant and cook. Back in the governor's room, Hamada pulls Lawrence up from the floor.
You, oi, omae. Go to the window and tell the soldiers to stop firing, or I will kill your father.
Don't shoot! Please, don't shoot!
Is this the way an official of the Imperial Court represents the Emperor?
Imperial official no more. The Emperor banished me.
Those Sinkans have caused both of us trouble. I can help you regain the Emperor's favor.
Tell me. Idemiro!
Hamada signs an agreement to exchange 5 hostages from each side. The Dutch hostages sail in Hamada's ship, and the Japanese hostages in a Dutch vessel. Upon safe arrival in Nagasaki, both sides will free their prisoners. Nuts explains the procedure to Chief Merchant Meisert, one of the 5 Dutch hostages.
We must comply with Hamada's demands for the time being. The important thing is to guarantee our safe passage to Nagasaki. I'll be with you as one of the hostages.
If you leave Zealandia, don't expect the councillors to obey your orders.
This is a difficult decision, Mysert.
You know the Japanese tradition of exchanging sons? It could work.
Governor Nuts proposes to Hamada that they each send a son as one of the hostages. Hamada accepts his offer as predicted. Nuts gives final instructions to Mysert and entrusts him with the life of his son.
The letter we sent to Nagasaki will arrive before you, with instructions to seize Hamada's ship and the goods he extorted from us. Sell the Dutch vessel. The price will cover the amount of the ransom.
It's the only choice. Our ship wouldn't be seaworthy after this voyage.
Mysert, take care of Lawrence. I expect you to return safely. You must.
You have my word. I know the Japanese all too well.
Remember, you're the son of a governor, Lawrence.
I will, Father.
The weather clears and the two ships sail from Taoyuan Bay. In his office at Castle Zealandia, Governor Nuts explains to Caron why he sent the hostages.
But, Governor, your own flesh and blood?
There's nothing to fear. Moderation and reason will succeed, Caron. Lawrence will be back in 2 months.
I pray to God that you're right.
Now, here's my proposal to increase company profits by remaining on friendly terms with the Japanese and allowing them to share in our trade.
So you won't levy any duties on Japanese ships?
This seems to me the best course to follow.
Several months pass with no news of the hostages. Governor Nuts decides it's time to strengthen his authority and capture the Chinese pirate who is hiding out in the village of Matao. Mounted on a beautiful Persian horse, the governor heads a column of 70 seasoned soldiers. The Matao chief cunningly explains that the pirate has slipped away into the mountains and urges the soldiers to stay and enjoy their traditional hospitality. They feast until midday on venison and wild game, which the villagers have cooked in the Dutch style. At last, Nuts orders the company to fall in, but the soldiers have drunk such considerable amounts of arak, they ask for permission to stay until evening.
Governor, sir, you know the heat on the path is stifling this time of day. With these uniforms and heavy ordnance to carry, I'm afraid some soldiers could drop from exhaustion. Let us wait until sunset.
Very well.
I'll make sure the men report in good order before the gates are locked.
See that you do.
When the soldiers are ready to depart, the chiefs escort them to the Matao River and offer to carry their weapons while they cross. Unaware that Matao warriors are waiting in the tall grass to ambush them, the soldiers give over their muskets and wade into the waters. The Matao River Massacre lowers the Sinkins' opinion of the Dutch. The Sinkins taunt Reverend Candidius with demands to prove himself by performing miracles or divinations, as they claim their priestesses do. After several months of postponements, Nuts pays a visit to the village and brings cloth and gifts of food, which he distributes in Reverend Candidius's name.
Well done, Peter. Whether in Leiden or Sinkan, your keen law school eloquence makes quite an impression.
Easily won favor among these simple people. But I wonder, will it last?
Give them time. When I couldn't predict the weather, they concluded the Christian God is weak. But after some gentle persuasion, they agreed to be patient until harvest. Then they can judge whether the families who attend church and school fare better than the others or not.
Patience is the best remedy for every trouble.
My apologies. I have been so preoccupied with my own problems, I didn't ask about Lawrence and the other hostages.
No word from them. Nevertheless, I've done what you asked, George. I even brought back the silver bribes the Emperor of Japan gave to our mutineers. You can't accuse me of obstructing your work.
When did I ever...
Now, you must do this for me. Move back to the castle for your own good. You've admitted that you're not making much progress with the Sinkins.
Abandon my work? The seeds of faith are small, but they'll grow, and your speech won their respect for me again.
You agreed to follow my advice before.
I'm planning to marry a baptized Sinkan woman. I'm certain the example of a Christian marriage will gain the people's love even more.
It's time to put your own people first, George. Isn't it important to preach the Christmas sermon to them? Remember how long ago we took communion in Leiden?
Very well, Peter, but only until January. I was wondering about what you said in your speech. Here are prizes for a Sinkan princess.
I don't recall saying that. It's getting late. We began together, and together we'll achieve our just ends. Nunc adi vide lege re lege et tandem quod justum est judica. I'll meet you at the soldiers' barracks in the morning. Good night.
Take this lamp with you, Peter.
Nuts walks towards the soldiers' quarters with his head down, lost in ideas for new trade goods. He stops in a grove of bamboo at the edge of the village and takes a breath of the night air.
Camphor. Who's there?
Holding up the lamp, Nuts sees a Sinkin maiden wearing only the silver necklace. It shines on her bare breast.
See, you gave me the princess gift. I wear silver necklace. Make me beautiful.
Where did you come from?
My house. Come, I show you. Dariruma. Marisini Ikutsaya.
Wait! Which direction? What is your name?
My name is Poelohi. Namasaya Poelohi.
What a soft voice.
Namasaya Poelohi, Bang.
Ah, here I am standing in the middle, and I don't know to whom I should turn.
Here I am. You marry me. Akuchinda Padamu. Marikita Kawi.
Following her husband's instructions, Cornelia Nuts disposes of their household goods in Delft and books passage on the VOC vessel Amsterdam, bound for Batavia. Weathering storms, fever, and near shipwreck rounding the Cape of Good Hope, Cornelia reaches the port in Java where Peter told her to wait for him. He will soon join her for a holiday, and then together they will take a yacht to Formosa. Unexpectedly, Sarah Specks, the daughter of the Governor-General in Batavia, comes aboard the Amsterdam in Batavia Harbor looking for Mrs. Nuts.
Mrs. Nuts?
Yes?
I'm Sarah Specks, the Governor-General's daughter. I'll help you take the harbor boat. The luggage will be brought to you later.
Oh, how kind of you. I'm rather exhausted.
You don't have to tell me about the voyage, I know. The thought of that misery is the only thing that keeps me from leaving.
Do you happen to know if my husband, Governor Peter Nuts, is here?
Oh, yes. I thought you knew.
Knew what?
I came to meet you because your husband was summoned to court.
What happened?
Well, I don't know exactly, but there's plenty of gossip. I thought you and the Governor would go back home after all the trouble in Formosa. Please take me with you, Mrs. Nuts. I hate this place.
If you'll pardon me, Miss Specks, I'd like to leave immediately.
Oh! Are you all right?
Please, help me.
A month earlier, outgoing Governor General Kuhn received reports from Formosa accusing Governor Nuts of failing to perform his duties. Accusations against Nuts' decision to send hostages to Japan, his absence at the time of the massacre, and his misconduct in Sinkan convinced Kuhn to recall Peter Nuts and appoint Hans Puttmans in his place. Kuhn hands over the case to incoming Governor General Specks before leaving office. Francois Caron escorts Nuts back to Batavia in the custody of a soldier. In the VOC court at Batavia, Caron advises Nuts about the trial.
Your trial will resume in a few weeks, after the investigation is completed. Until then, the judge agrees you may stay here at headquarters, under house arrest. rather than go to Bulwark Prison.
The charges against me are false.
There are sworn statements from two soldiers that you married a Sinkan woman and she became pregnant with your child.
Cowardly lies spread by Putmans.
In the end, Specs will extradite you to Japan. It's his way of thanking the Emperor of Japan for exempting VOC ships from the Japanese embargo against foreign trade.
He should have consulted me first, but I'll thank the Governor General for sending me to Lawrence.
Your wife arrived, Peter.
Cornelia is here? Did you see her?
Yes. She's asking about your son.
The embargo prevented any news from reaching Formosa. I haven't been able to get any letter in or out of Japan.
I heard one of our VOC ships arrived today.
Would you see if there's some news about Lawrence for us?
Of course. If there's a letter, I'll have it sent to you right away.
Thank you. Where is Cornelia?
In the guest house. The voyage was very difficult.
I must spare her this troubling news.
Mr. Nuts, sir, what a relief to see you. Come in quickly. Oh, wait, sir, there's something I must tell you first.
Dear Anna, you haven't changed. It's just as though we were home in Delft.
If only we could return to the Netherlands.
Was the voyage difficult for Mrs. Nuts?
Every day on that ship was a torture. Pirates attacked and fever broke out.
Tell me what happened.
A family on board the ship died of the fever, and Mrs. Nuts couldn't sleep after that. I think she has dreams about Lawrence.
What kind of dreams?
She sees a little boy who looks like Lawrence, but his face is swollen, and please don't let on that I said anything to you.
Anna, is someone at the door?
Yes, my wife. I'm here.
Peter! Is it really you? Oh, if only you knew what I've suffered.
I know it's been a terrible ordeal for you, for both of us.
Peter, a strange woman upset me on the ship claiming to be the Governor General's daughter. She said she was Sarah Specs and talked about a trial.
Forgive me for not meeting you, Cornelia. Unexpected company matters delayed my departure. I was planning a happy reunion after such a long separation.
A whole year? I can't endure that again, Peter.
You won't have to. We're together now. You're safe.
Is it possible to be safe here? I feel so afraid.
You must rest.
Peter, I can't stop worrying until I see our son.
Cornelia, dear, Lawrence is waiting for you.
He is? Why didn't you tell me? Where?
The governor's mansion at Castle Zealandia. He'll welcome you to our new home.
Why couldn't Lawrence come with you?
You know for yourself what a voyage would be like for him.
Peter, a little child on the ship died of malaria.
You'll see him soon. Our family will be together again, just like we were in Delft.
What was that woman Sarah Specs talking about?
Stay away from her. She has a scandalous reputation.
I'm not surprised. She looks so unhappy.
Don't waste your sympathy on that woman.
A servant brought this letter to the door, ma'am.
A letter? Open it for us, Anna.
Wait! Let me do that for you, dear.
Anna is used to opening my letters, Peter.
There's an important-looking seal. Here you are, ma'am.
Thank you, Anna. It reminds me of your letters, Peter.
My letters?
Yes, I carried your letters from Delft with me and read one every night. I know them all by heart now.
We were apart too long.
This is addressed to the Honorable Peter Nuts.
Company business. I'll take it.
No, let me read it. The VOC headquarters in Nagasaki received a report from the foreigners' prison in Umura, Japan, that an epidemic of smallpox broke out among the prisoners in December last year.
Cornelia, let me see that letter.
Here, I can't bear any more sad news.
I regret your son Lawrence was one of the victims.
Victims? It was Lawrence in my dream. Peter, you lied to me. Oh.
Anna, come at once.
Is something wrong?
Find Governor Specs and ask him to send a doctor.
Is Mrs. Nuts all right?
Go, hurry.
Yes, sir.
Cornelia, listen to me.
You said I would see Lawrence in Formosa, but he was in prison in Japan.
I didn't know, Cornelia.
Lies. My Lawrence is dead. Lauren!
Please believe me.
Mr. Nuts, the doctor is here.
Too late! Oh, God, what went wrong?
Madam!
I must go to Japan and set things right.
Hello?
ex-Governor Nuts was determined that his wife and son should not have died in vain. Despite everything, he remained convinced that he had acted correctly, and he begged the Governor General for permission to return to Japan. The Governor General was happy to agree, and postponing the trial, he sent Nuts to Hirado as a hostage. For the next 4 years, the VOC traded successfully with Japan, while Nuts was kept under house arrest in Hirado. He spent his time writing and trying to undo the damage caused by Hamada's treachery. He was never granted an audience with the Emperor. In 1636, Nuts returned to Batavia, where he was dishonorably discharged from the VOC and stripped of all his possessions. Back in the Netherlands, he embarked on a new career in the Dutch civil service, and with the help of some influential patrons, he was at last able to recover his confiscated wealth. He remarried, eventually became burgomaster of Hulst, and died in 1655. Governor Nutt's friend, the Reverend George Candidius, also left Formosa, but instead of returning to Holland as he intended, he was persuaded to stay in Batavia. We will hear more of Reverend Candidius in Episode 2.
Thank you for joining us for In the Days of Governor Nuts, Part 1 in the series Tales of Dutch Formosa. The part of Governor Peter Nuts was played by Paul Jackson. Reverend George Candidius was Norman Szabo. Francisco was Chris Ma. Lawrence Nuts was Sam Higany. Daniel was Jerry Sun. The warehouse chief was Don Gilliland. Francois Caron was Douglas Bishop. Captain Hamada was Wesley Coe. The Japanese soldier was Shigeki Ueno. Merchant Miser was Don Gilliland. The VOC soldier was Norman Szabo. Poelahi was Sharon Ung. Sarah Specks was Katie Hausen. Cornelia Nuts was Lori Solbakken. Anna was Sarah Andres. The diary voice was read by Andrew Ryan. The conclusion by Lynn Scott. In the Days of Governor Nuts was written and directed by Lynn Scott and produced and engineered by Andrew Ryan. The original flute and drum music was performed by series music consultant Alan Wu, with additional flute pieces by Carl Hsu. The script consultant was Andrew Ryan.
Part 1 of Tales of Dutch Formosa. Now, Part 2 will not be presented next week, as we present the 6th program in our series for our 90th anniversary. But the second part of that program will be presented on July the 1st, the 1st of July, which in one place, at least it's Canada Day, with the 4th of July, which is, everybody knows, of course, the 4th of July. So, it was part one of Tales of Dutch Formosa. Now, I do want to take a moment to talk about our Patreon page. Now, we haven't really been updating it for quite some time, and that's only because we've been rather busy. But we are making some changes to it and also to the content that will be uploaded. Now, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, here's a little promo about that.
Hello.
Hello.
Here's the Happy Station Show, calling listeners everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's your station of smiles across.
Hello, I'm Keith Perron, host of the Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International, which next year will celebrate its 90th anniversary. Along with many new listeners that we have attracted over the last 7 years, there are also many of you that tune in who remember the Eddie Starts and Tom Meyer days.
Things are getting to be more improvised any minute. What was the name of this beautiful piece? Nobody knows. The trouble I've seen. Kiss it up.
Over the past few years, many of you have commented that you enjoy when we go into the archives and broadcast material that hasn't been heard in decades. With a number of people asking if the Happy Station Show and Radio Nederland archives will be made available. And guess what? Yes. That's right. Yes. The answer is yes.
Can you imagine When Happy Station was only 7 years old, you started...
I would like to invite you to become a patron at Patreon. At Patreon, you will be able to hear the latest Happy Station show. And for those who are patrons, you will have full access to unedited Happy Station shows and Radio Netherlands content, both in sound and vision, from the past 89 years. All these sound recordings have been remastered from the original tapes and discs. And let's talk about films for a moment. That's right, Happy Station did produce some films. And we went back to this production studio and remastered them. Now just look at how the original 16mm print looked before. But after spending numerous hours going frame by frame, now look at it.
It was really only a hunch. I had an intuition that... He had style enough.
Now, I know that many of you right now would like to see and hear these historical programs. Well, guess what? It's time for you to become a patron at Patreon. Those who become patrons at Patreon will be helping to support the digitization of all these tapes and films.
You cross your fingers, you hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
And those who are patrons will also get rewards like rare music recordings, rare programs, books, and much more. Also, if we reach our goal of $200 a month, PCJ Radio International will produce special programs that will be broadcast on shortwave for you. So come on now, show your support today, become a patron at Patreon. For more information, visit www.patreon.com/PCJRadio. Paramaribo, 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 Paramaribo. Peggy Brown Singers with Stuffy. Anyway, I have to leave you right now because I'm actually running out of time. We hope you enjoy the program next week, another program at our anniversary series. So do tune in. We're going to leave you today with Udo Jürgens singing about some summer wine. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
war schon dunkel, als ich durch Vorstadtstraßen heimwärts ging. Da war ein Wirtshaus, aus dem das Licht noch auf den Gehsteig schien. Ich hatte Zeit und mir war kalt, drum trat ich ein. Da saßen Männer mit braunen Augen und mit schwarzem Haar. Und aus der Jukebox erklang Musik, die fremd und südlich war. Als man mich sah, stand einer auf und lud mich ein. Griechischer Wein ist so wie das Blut der Erde. Komm, schenk dir ein. Und wenn ich dann traurig werde, liegt es daran, dass ich immer träume von daheim. Du musst verzeihen. Griechischer Wein und die altvertrauten Lieder schenk nochmal ein. Denn ich fühle die Sehnsucht wieder in dieser Stadt. Werd ich immer nur ein Fremder sein. Und allein. Und dann erzählten sie mir von grünen Hügeln, Meer und Wind, von alten Häusern und jungen Frauen, die alleine sind, und von dem Kind, das seinen Vater noch nie sah. Sagten sich immer wieder, irgendwann geht es zurück. Und das Ersparte genügt zu Hause für ein kleines Glück. Und bald denkt keiner mehr daran, wie es hier war. Griechischer Wein ist so wie das Blut der Erde. Komm, schenk dir ein. Und wenn ich dann traurig werde, liegt es daran, dass ich immer träume von daheim. Du musst verzeihen. Griechischer Wein und die nochmal ein, denn ich fühle die Sehnsucht wieder in dieser Stadt. Werd ich immer nur ein Fremder sein und allein.